Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Happy Friday afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby, and today's show, we are resuming our State of Cheese series, which has lain dormant for a little while. We're going to be talking about the state of cheese in Florida with owner of the Artisan Cheese Company in Sarasota, Louise Parker, and we're also going to be talking about the recap of the Southern Artisan Cheese Festival, which just wrapped up a couple days ago. So, Louise, are you on the phone with us?
I surely am. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's actually a Louise Converse. The other name is my husband's name.
Oh, my apologies for that.
No worries,
got
no worries.
Our fact-checking wrong.
So it happens a lot.
So you are the owner of the Artisan Cheese Company in Sarasota, Florida. How long have you had your shop there?
So we opened in March of 11, so just a little over 18, 19 months, something like that. Yeah.
Congratulations. And what has the community's response been to having a great cheese shop in town?
It's been pretty great, a little overwhelming as well. The only places they were able to go before for any kind of real artisanal anything was either Whole Foods or there was a little market about 3 miles away. So they never really had a place like this before. So they've been great. It's been a nice response. I think they were waiting for us.
I agree. I was going to say Florida, I think in general, is kind of underserved when it comes to cheese. I know personally our business, we do a lot of mail order to Florida because people come to New York and complain that they can't get the cheeses that they're looking for down there. So it's fabulous to hear that you've received such a warm welcome. So Sarasota, if you can tell our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the community and sort of what makes it a great spot for a cheese business like yours?
Sure. It's a really interesting community. My husband and I first moved down here in 2002. We lived here for 6 years. I had worked at Harvard forever and ever, and we wanted to come down here, lived here for 6 years, moved away for 4, and we wanted to come back here because we loved it. It's on the water. It's really easy. There's a lot of art, large A and small A. There are more and more restaurants opening up all the time, which is kind of an indicator that people are wanting something more than what they can find in a mall. There's some wonderful farm-to-table operations happening. So we just thought that it was a great moment for us, and we love living here. It's really easy. There's a lot of snowbirds who come down from the Midwest, some from the Northeast, Ohio, even North Carolina, that area. So it's exactly as you mentioned. They want their cheese. They're a savvy bunch.
Absolutely. I am a Midwesterner, and I have been to Sarasota. My parents' good friends have a place down there, and so that was my first introduction to the city, and it's very, very beautiful.
It's magical.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about the focus of your shop? What kinds of cheeses do you tend to seek out, and why?
So we have about 70% American artisanal farmhouse as well, and the rest are the usual suspects from across the Atlantic. I'm actually English and Scottish, and I have, I love the Montgomerys and the Westcombs and things like that. And the Ardrahans and things like that. But I really am in love with what's happening in the South. There's a food explosion, and every year there's another maker online. So I want to kind of focus, I have been, on more regional. Unfortunately, Florida, there's not that many makers in this area. It's so darn hot.
Mm.
So our regional is really the South. Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, of course, and Tennessee. So we want to introduce those amazing cheeses in our case. And, you know, I love raw milk cheese, and that's a really big thing for us. I love the soft one. I mean, I'm in love with everything that's happening in the South. And then, of course, Vermont and New York and Oregon, and I could go on and on.
It's pretty amazing to think. I think, you know, even, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible to talk about such a proliferation of all of these cheeses, especially in the South. And it's just really exciting to hear that there's so much going on the making side and on the consumer appreciation side. So who are some of your favorite Southern cheese producers that our listeners should know about?
Oh, gosh. Goat Lady, who are from North Carolina, we're absolutely in love with them. They have a guy, Alexander Kast, who's been with them, I think, for now a year, and he's really promoting them to people like us. Sequatchie Cove, we're just in love with the Arnolds, Nathan and Padgett.
And they're located in Tennessee, I think.
They're in Tennessee, yes, an amazing place in Tennessee. There's so many. I love Nature's Harmony.
That's a new one for me. Where is Nature's Harmony located?
Nature's Harmony is in Elberton, Georgia, and they make they have a Fortsonia, which is like a Gruyere, an Alpine-like. They have amazing new cheddar, or at least it is in our case, which is about 8 months, and it kind of fits a nice profile that's missing in my case.
Mm.
It's all about the pasture. So in the South, you can have your herds, you can rotationally graze them all year round, which is fabulous. Prodigal Farm, which is up in North Carolina, it's a goat cheese maker. I'm in love with Kat and what she does. There's so many that are like my friends.
I know. I was going to say, now, when it comes to sourcing, I mean, when you're dealing with all these small producers, are you calling everyone direct and kind of having it all sent to you? How does that side of the business work?
Well, that's the hardest part. It's like it's really hot down here, and everything seems to end in Atlanta. So I have to arm wrestle if I want anything interesting in the case. Now, I have a distributor, but they just have the same things that you may find in a Whole Foods, and they're great. I mean, I need them, absolutely. But I want to be able to have some really lovely seasonal. It's all about, if we were in Europe, we would be eating our cheeses of the region. So I want the same kind of a thing, just because it's Florida and it's all palm trees and sunshine. I think that that it's really important to our audience. They want the same things that they can have in New York or Vermont or Connecticut. So I actually have to work a lot with the makers. It's a little expensive, but I'm a dog with a bone. I'm not going to let go. You know, I just want this to happen, and it is. It's more successful this year than last year. So we're mail ordering now around Florida, and that's exciting. But I just love it. It's just so cool.
Yeah, no, I feel like working with the producers directly, it, of course, you know, is more expensive, like you said, and can cause some logistical headaches when it comes to, shipping, et cetera. But you also have access to all those stories then, which is so wonderful when you, when you're chatting with cheesemakers. I feel like, you know, you always stumble upon some weird little tidbit of knowledge that that you never thought you would know. So you were talking a little bit about, when you're the owner of a shop such as yours, you're of course paying attention to the cheeses in your case. That's kind of the bedrock of the whole operation. But you're talking about your love of creating an atmosphere in your shop. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that manifests itself in the different details that you put in your shop?
Well, I wanted to find a place, or I wanted to create a place that I would love. So I was up in Cambridge for years and years, and so I would find myself spending hours in Formaggio's and losing time and lots of money. I'd walk in for something small and end up much lighter. But I would love to go back. It was intriguing, and I wanted to have that same atmosphere here, like a proper shop, like you could come in and everything would be visually pleasing, the pantry items. And I also wanted to find a way to remove the intimidation. You know, I've spent many years kind of walking past a counter being afraid of asking what that was or asking for a sample. So even how I align my cases, I want to bring people into the shop, and I'll walk out from behind the counter and be with them, and we'll look at the case, and I'll ask them, you know, and I'll let them know about those lovely narratives about the makers, and or the narratives of the pantry items, the amazing preserves and the chutneys and what have you, because I'm a storyteller. Actually,
I feel like that's kind of all our second vocation. You know, cheesemonger might be in the bold,
right.
But right under that is storyteller, which is
just
a great great job to have. I
love it. Yeah.
And yeah. So, who do you think are sort of your, you know, sort of peers in your cheese community in Florida? You mentioned that Whole Foods is a great source for people to get good cheese, which is really wonderful. But are there others that you know of? Are there any sort of, you know, local groups or associations that you are related to?
Unfortunately, no. It's, you know, Florida is a little bit of a wasteland. It's really large. It's about almost 500 miles long and 400 miles wide, and people think of it as this retirement community. So there's a lot of, it's almost as if I'm out on the forefront of what's happening.
You're a pioneer.
Well, a little bit. I hate to think of me like that, but I think that there's really, there are only a handful of other retailers like me in Florida. They're really hard to locate, so therefore Whole Foods and counters in market have kind of helped out a lot. So our local Whole Foods, they opened, I think, in 06 or something, and it was huge for us. So they're able, because of economies of scale, they're able to bring in things that I can't. And I'll send people up there, and happily, they actually also refer many people here, and I love that. So what I've recognized is that it's really, it's a great community as far as the food business. There's a lot of restaurants, and so it's very collaborative. It's not very competitive. And I think, at least in Florida, we kind of feel that we're really trying to make something happen here. You know, we like to think of ourselves here, at least at Artisan Cheese Company, as a little cheese shop that could. We want to put us on the map. We want to put Florida on the map. So, But there are no associations in Florida. If there are, I haven't heard of them, and I...
Me neither. I was hoping maybe you would enlighten me to some new organizations out there. Well, I mean,
I'll start one.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, kudos to you for being, for being the trailblazer. Unfortunately, we've come to the sort of midpoint of our show. But I really appreciate you taking the time, to tell us about, your shop, the Artisan Cheese Company, and the good work that you do. If people want to visit, you can go to artisancheesecompany.com and check out all of their wonderful things. So thank you so much, Louise.
And thank you. I'm a huge, fan of yours. So thanks a bunch.
Oh, likewise. Well, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years, so it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
And we are back on Cutting the Curd. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. You can tune in to Cutting the Curd and a bunch of other shows on the network, which is www.heritageradionetwork.org. So on with us for our second segment, who's joining us for, I don't know, the second or maybe even the third time, is Kathleen Cotter, who is the founder of the Southern Cheese Festival and the owner of the Bloomy Rind. Thank you so much for being on with us, Kathleen.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I was thinking about, this is my third time on, so thank you for that. And I was kind of giggling to myself that I'm going to try to be the Alec Baldwin of Cutting the Curd.
Our recurring guest. So our yeah, sort of smooth, suave recurring guest. I love it. Well, I'm actually going to start off this segment. I forgot to do it on our last show, and I feel guilty about it. We started doing a segment called our Curd Word, which is designed to sort of do a little bit of cheese vocabulary research and enlighten our listeners. And I feel like because you're on the shop with us today, our Curd Word should be Bloomy Rind. Do you want to do the honors and tell our listeners what Bloomy Rind means, or do you want me to do it?
I'll have a go at it, and you jump in because as we know, I consider myself still a relative newbie to cheese. So, but Bloomy Rind refers to a category of cheeses, the white rind that you find on a brie or a camembert, and so it's a cheese term. But I just thought it was sort of a charming phrase when I was trying to think of a name for the shop. So, kind of grabbed on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they call it Bloomy because literally as this mold grows, you know, when you look at a finished cheese, it doesn't, you know, nothing would really indicate that, you know, that there was something sort of blooming happening. But when the mold first appears on the outside of the cheese, it's very puffy and white. It almost looks like cotton. And so, yeah, that's why they call it Bloomy, because one day it's not there and the next day it just is like magic, just like poof.
Kind of like me. I'm here.
Exactly. So how are things going at the Bloomy Rind? How many years has it been now?
Things are good. We are closing in on our second anniversary in our shop, which the Bloomy Rind is a cut-to-order cheese counter inside of a Porter Road butcher shop here in Nashville. And the butcher shop carries all local pasture-raised meats, and I carry all American with a heavy emphasis on southern cheeses. So 2 years. We started at the farmer's market before that for about a year, year and a half. So I guess all in three and a half years. But good. All is well. We just continue to grow, and I'm kind of working to grow working with chefs and the wholesale side and get more and more great cheese on cheese plates around town, which is part of my original hope and vision for it. So we're getting there slowly but surely.
You're a cheese evangelist. I love it. And you're also the founder of the Southern Cheese Festival, which is just wrapped up, I understand. Can you tell us about what went down this year?
Yeah, for sure. So it was the third year, and we had 19 cheesemakers and 20 food artisans, people who make cured meats and jams and pickles and all the good things that go with cheese. So 39 in total, representing 7 states around the Southeast. So beautiful showing. We have cows, goat and sheep milk cheeses, which is exciting because sheep are hard to raise in the South, so that's always fun to see. We had 3 cheesemakers who were there for the very first time, Blue Ridge Mountain Creamery, which is a fellow who's a glassblower by trade and also started a creamery because who doesn't need 2 really, really full-time jobs?
I feel like cheesemakers kind of tend towards that in general. They're like,
right.
I just, you know, running a farm is impossible, so might as well do some other cool stuff on top of that.
Might as well have this whole other career. Capriole joined us for the first year, which is very exciting since they are sort of a... Judy Schott is sort of the one of the matriarchs of American artisan cheeses, so that was a happy moment for us to have them on board. And then a new sheep cheese maker out of Kentucky called Good Shepherd, he's doing an aged raw milk cheese that's really fabulous. And so that was some newbies. We changed venues this year, found something that was a little more conducive to sort of the flow and kind of it was a little more enclosed in case we had inclement weather. So we switched a few things up and had just a slightly smaller crowd. We still had around 600 people, so it was a good size, but not overwhelming. So all in all, it seems to get better and better, and people were smiling. So that's the gauge.
That's awesome. And did it take place in Nashville, or where is the festival? Where was it this year?
Yeah, we're here in Nashville, Tennessee. It was actually in an old meatpacking plant that operated here in the Germantown area of Nashville, downtown Nashville. And it ran from early 1900s through the 70s and then shut down and was sort of abandoned. And a family has purchased it, and they're slowly repurposing and rehabbing the buildings. And so there's a high-end shoe purveyor called Peter Nappy, and then there's some creative organizations like the Nashville Jazz Workshop that have set up home in some of these different buildings. And we were in one building that used to be a garage, and so it just has all these, so it's very rustic and concrete and so forth, but it has tons of windows and skylights, so we just have beautiful natural light shining in on us. And so it was a really cool space. But downtown Nashville, we've talked about moving it around, but everyone sort of feels like it should just be in its home base and be here. So we will continue to do it here in Nashville.
And I feel like Nashville is kind of a nice, it's kind of like in the middle a little bit. I guess maybe a little, it's a little west, I guess, but, you know, it's a nice place for people to kind of be able to come from the four corners, as it were, you know, and kind of gather there.
That is true.
So what was the programming like? Was it mostly kind of a show where people could just sort of walk around and taste and talk with cheesemakers, or did you have workshops and classes and that kind of thing?
So there were sort of 3 parts to it, 3 main parts. On Friday evening, we had a Meet the Cheesemaker dinner. So I had a local chef here who did 4 courses, family style, utilizing lots of Southern artisan cheeses. So people... we sold tickets to it, and then the cheesemakers were there, so people could hang out and chat with the cheesemakers in a little more low-key fashion than, you know, a festival can be kind of crazy, and you just have a few seconds. So I wanted something where people could really chat. So we did that Friday evening, and then the festival is sort of the main event, and it's a tasting ticketed event. So there's music and beer, local craft or Southern craft brews and wines, and so you just wander and drink and eat and enjoy. And then there was a VIP level ticket this year that included a choice of 2 cheese classes. So we had Deborah Stone from Stone Hollow Farmstead in Alabama, who taught just a real basic cheese making and cooking with cheese, and did a little demo for some folks. And then there was another one with Tim Gaddis of Star Provisions, Catherine Spann of Prodigal Farm, and Justin Trosclair of who is a champion cheesemonger of St. James Cheese Company in New Orleans. And they did a sort of a quick cheese 101 sensory evaluation before, so people who had VIP tickets could choose from either of those classes. So we'll hope to do more education as we move forward in future years, but we're sort of doing it bit by bit, adding on things as we can.
Absolutely. Well, that already sounds like just an all-star kind of roster of things to do. I'm like, I got to come next year.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Live from Cutting the Curd, live from the Southern Artists
and Cheese Festival. That would be very cool. That would be very cool. And so have you seen, so you said you had 19 cheesemakers. How have you seen the rank swell from the first festival?
So we've had different ones that have come and gone. I think the first year we had like 13 or 14, something in that range. So we've had a few more. There were a couple that were lined up and had some staffing issues or, just different things come up in the world of cheesemakers. And so we had a couple that couldn't make it at the last minute. So really it would have been close to, it was like 21 or 22 that were scheduled. So, but just in general, Southern cheesemakers keep popping up.
It feels like
every year it's sort of, there's just new, more and more cheesemakers. So much like, I think the scene across the country, but it's fun to see it here in our neck of the woods because we're not always known for cheese. So, fun fact, North Carolina has 40-something licensed cheesemakers, which is sort of amazing. So
that is crazy. I remember when the ACS had their conference there, I guess, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. I was not aware that there were that many cheesemakers in North Carolina. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it surprised me once I started digging. And I work in cheese here, and so a lot are super small and real localized.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.